a practitioner, so it's appropriate that I'm in this session. I've spent many years working with farmers, making fertilizer recommendations. So I've sat down with lots of farmers, and so that question, how much nitrogen do I need, is one that I've heard many times. How much nitrogen do I need on this field? And so we go through whatever method of nitrogen recommendation calculations we've used, proven yield for years. So we say, okay, on this field, based on proven yield, this is what you needed. And then usually if there's a follow-up question to that, the farmer will often ask, is that more than I need? Or they will ask, is that enough? So nitrogen recommendations have always been a critical part of our production system. And farmers have are aware that it's something that we have an area where we can improve in, and we may not be at where we need to be, but we need to be making improvements. So the question, how much do I need? Well, in this particular field, it was an on-farm trial done in Champaign County, Illinois, in 2003. We got 100 bushel, there's delta yield there, from zero N rate to 210, over 100 bushels in this case. So we got a good response to nitrogen there. In another field on-farm trial, same county, it's about 7 miles away from the other one, different farmer. Not much response to N, 16 bushels. So we see that there's differences between fields, between farmers. There's differences even within fields. And so how do we move forward and start doing a better recommendation? You know, it comes down to, what is the response to your soil? And, you know, all the sessions we've seen this morning have talked about this. You know, we look at the response curves. These two response curves, you're both, at the end, you're getting 200 bushel in both of these fields, but one needs a lot more fertilizer to achieve that. These could be two fields, one next to the other. They could be in the same field. But in this case, they're one that's in central Illinois and there are ones in southern Illinois. And I just use those as an example. But why should we use soil-based management? If soils are differing in their response to N, then it makes sense that we should manage them differently. In our central Illinois soils, most of the nitrogen that the plant takes up during the growing season comes from the soil. So it makes sense that we take that into account when making our recommendations. There's other solutions that exist. Those are solutions that work. A lot of the sensors, they're a good solution, but I think farmers are comfortable with soil tests, and we need to be aware of the logistics in movement of nitrogen. How much nitrogen can we put on in a year? You know, farmers are comfortable putting, you know, in our area we do fall application. Right now we could not move all our nitrogen application to the spring. It just wouldn't work. We'd have to have a huge change in infrastructure to be able to do that. So a soil test that helps us, has predictive value, that helps us know how much to put on ahead of time, is a very valuable tool. In working with a nitrogen soil test, one of the things that I evaluated was, how does a soil test work? You have to really think about that when you're working with something new. And so I went back and I read something and that Roger Bray had written in 1948, and he said that soil tests must reflect the forms that are available to the plant during the growing season. Okay, so they must measure something that's important. The test has to have reasonable accuracy and speed. And then he said, the amount extracted must be correlated with the growth and response of each crop under the various conditions. So those are our response curves. But what does he mean by various conditions? Well, if you read on in the paper, he explains that a little bit. He says various conditions means when you change tillage, crop rotation, row width, populations. He said we need to redo our calibration data. We need to be aware of those changes when we're looking at calibration data for a soil test. And so your soil test should be adjusted to your production system. So what conditions are the most important? You know, Is it the soils? Is it the climate? Is it the rotation? And we've talked about all of those things. We look at separate rotations, corn, soybean, corn, corn. We've talked about, Carrie Lebowski was just talking about climate, that northern Wisconsin has a different climate than southern Wisconsin. So those are things that we have to look at. Tillage systems, no-till systems may have different response than other tillage systems. You know, going back to another foundation of how this, how much nitrogen do you need? You look at George Stanford, and you know, how much nitrogen do we need to apply? Well, it's a very simple equation. You take the nitrogen that's needed by that plant for its economically attainable yield, and you subtract how much is coming from the soil. So that's how much we need to apply. So, you know, but that nitrogen obtained from the soil is often the majority of the nitrogen that the plant takes up. So what we're adding as the fertilizer is only a supplement to what the soil provides. So it's important that we do know what the soil will provide first, and then it makes it easier to calculate how much supplemental nitrogen we need to apply. And they're both very important parts, but they don't exist independently. I think it's important that we know what comes from the soil, that we factor in mineralization. ISNT, I think, does predict potential mineralization, but it's not the only test that works for mineralization. There's a paper there that they look at some of the different tests, and I think you can use any of those, but I think it's very important they be calibrated to your local conditions. You have to have these on-farm trials to calibrate it under the conditions that your farmers are going to be using them under. In Illinois, we you know, one of the traditional ways we split up the state and they're using it for the MRTN, north, central, and south. That line across southern Illinois, you see it's at an angle, and that's because the glacier came across, and that makes sense there. There's a moraine there. The northern one, that usually is a highway that runs across the state, and we use that as a divide. Maybe there's other ways to define local conditions, and that's what I want to talk a little bit, how to split it up and look at some of the data when you split it up that way. Ecoregions, you know, they look at soil and climate, and Carrie Lebowski had shown some the major land use area, you know, so different soil types, you know, and a lot of times you see these are very similar. But in Illinois, you see there's, if you split it up into ecoregions, there's three major regions. You have the northern and eastern Illinois, that's the Corn Belt Plains. Southern Illinois is the southern till plain, and then you have western Illinois. There's a big area there. So if you split up and start looking at those three large areas independently for calibration data. Here's some work that Dr. Emerson Napsinger did in some response trials on farm in 2006. And for those studies, we have ISNT that's associated with a number of those studies. And if you look at that whole data set for the whole state of Illinois, not a very good relationship. I mean, and so, you know, you look at that and say, well, can we improve that by looking at regions of the state? But one of the first things I wanted to do is, I have four other sites that I removed from that data set. One of them was an unusual rotation. One of them had extreme variability. Another one was a flooded field. Another one was a low bulk density. But you remove just those four outliers that aren't helpful in predicting future nitrogen response, and it improves the data set a little bit. But then let's look at it, let's use those MRTN divisions, and I wanted to have as many points as possible, so I put north and central together, and you get a little better relationship there. And but then I also looked at the those central Corn Belt Plains, that's the brown area for northern and east central Illinois. And then I also separated out the corn-soybean rotation from the corn-corn rotation. And this is the corn-soybean rotation for that part of the state. It's not a bad relationship. It's for ISNT, the economic optimum end. And then this is what it is for that that same area looking at the corn-corn in that region. Now, this is the region where we have the most data, so I didn't show the other ones, but the southern Illinois one didn't look very good. We had enough data here that I thought we could have enough points that we get some idea of what's going on in those areas. There's another data set that I looked at some, and it's the Iowa work that in Barker et al. That Dr. Sawyer was involved in. And when you look at that data set as a whole, also, the R-squared looks pretty pathetic. But are there ways that we can look at that data set that we can get useful information out of that? Here's a map that shows where those sites were across the state of Iowa. And there's lines in that across there that shows the divisions of some of the major soil regions in the state of Iowa. And I just put numbers there to help me in my analysis, and I'll show you some of the data that comes from some of those different regions where they have enough points that we can do something with. But as you can see, the ecoregions and the soil regions are very similar that we're looking at there. So here's the ecoregions, and there's the numbers that we're looking at. One other thing I did, I separated out, there was a number of sites that had manure in this study, and there's a number of sites in there that probably had past manure because they had very high P1 levels. If you look at the sites I removed, if you look the response to N on those sites, the average response on those sites was 60 pounds of N. And so we need to look at manured soils probably as a subset, you know, in this case, because it didn't help our analysis when those were included with all the other data. So I'm going to look at that as a subset. So this is what we have left as the data. Yeah, it improved the R-squared a little bit, but nothing to really write home about. But if we look at these regions 2, 4, and 6, as I've labeled them there, and look at the response between economic optimum and ISNT for just those regions, I think we see a lot better relationship that appears there. And I think it's something that we can start to use and start to make recommendations based on that, because we're looking at the potential mineralization of soils in those regions, and we're taking into account the local calibration data. If we look at just that region 4, and you know, not a lot of points there, but we get a pretty good relationship with just that within that region. It'd be nice to have more data. Not all the regions in the state worked as well. Out in western Iowa, and I assume those may be drier soils. You know, we don't get a very good relationship there. And then there's one, region 10, down in southwest Iowa. No relationship to look at in that data. But overall, there was a very low response to nitrogen in that area. We had one site that was about 130 pounds of N, but the other ones really gave, you know, we're going to average, you put 60, 70 pounds of N on that, you'd probably forget it. So, I've been using ISNT with producers. We have a soil testing lab, we go out and pull samples, and we've been using this to make recommendations for farmers. We use local calibration data. Locally, fortunately, we have enough sites in Illinois. We have a lot of ISNT data that's been done in Illinois, and we get good relationships. One of the things that we also do is we like to put test blocks in to verify that our nitrogen rates are doing a good job for the farmers. We put a higher rate in, a lower rate in, and if we do see differences, then we can make adjustments in future years. So it gives us some ground truthing that we're looking at, and I'll show you a little example of that. But it comes back to how much N do we need, you know? And here's the same picture as I showed before, and my recommendation for this field would have been 169 pounds of N based on ISNT, okay? The ISNT was 192, and the economic N calculated from that, 0.1 corn to N price ratio is 180 pounds of N. If you look at Dr. Nafsinger's data from 2006, so just 1 year of data, and you look at what 192, what he would have, what we could assume from that, it's about 175 pounds of N. So those are pretty close. My recommendation was a little lower, but still, all in all, pretty good. Well, here's this other picture that I showed you. And when I selected these pictures, you may think I was cherry picking, but I went in and found the best pictures I had. And then I went back and looked at the data after that. So I just picked two good pictures, and then I thought, well, I might as well show them what it is, because I have these pictures, and that, you know. So my recommendation on this field would have been 147 pounds of N. The ISNT was 225. The experimental economic optimum N was 126. And if we look at that 1 year of data that Dr. Nafsinger had ISNT data for, 225 would be about 155 pounds of N. So it's a little, my recommendation's a little higher, this one's a little higher than what the economic optimum was. I'd rather be a little on the high side than on the short side, but, you know, we can also, you know, over time, if we have, do good work in the field with yield monitors, with variable rate applicators, we're able to adjust, accumulate a number of years data on individual fields and adjust our recommendation. This is a field in McLean County, Illinois, and it has a pretty good spread of IS&T values. It goes from about 180 up to 340 pounds of N. And this is our recommendation map for that field. And my recommendations for the whole field, I go from about 90 pounds of N up to 210 for this field. Now we have some lower rates in here. We have a pretty extensive N-response trial in there. And then we have our blocks in there where we're checking our recommendations for this field. We have the rate we recommended for the area, we have a higher rate, we have a lower rate. So we can look at that data and decide whether we're getting the right rate for those areas or not. So we can use that to make future adjustments in this field. But the important thing is, what's the yield? I mean, how does that do? Does it hold up in yield? And as you see, where we have our highest IS&T levels, this is 300, oh, greater than 300 parts per million of IS&T, we have some of our highest yields, but that's where we applied some of our lowest N rates. Now the scale in there goes from 185 up to, you know, we're at 201 here. So there's not a lot of variability in this field, and the average yield for this field for 2006 was 191. The farmer was very happy with that yield, but he also said that this was probably the least variability he had in yield in that field that he'd ever seen. And so he's used to seeing a lot of variability in yield when he's using a straight nitrogen rate. So I don't know, you know, if having the variable N rates, if we help these areas more, and that made it look flatter or not. But that's, you know, an example of some of the work that we've been doing. And, you know, in conclusion, I've been using IS&T as a tool I think works well, and it helps us manage nitrogen. I think we can do a better job site specifically with that. But I think it's important that you have good local calibration data and you're looking at the production system that farmer has and making adjustments to your recommendation based on their systems. That's all.
Any questions for Tim? We have time. How about you then? You want to bet?
Tim, did you look at tillage systems and all of your spatial analysis?
I have looked at that. In these studies that I showed here, we didn't. In another study where we have a lot more site data, we looked at it. And the tendency in that study was no-till systems that we were dealing with tended to need more nitrogen. They tended to have, where we had enough data that we could separate them out, the no-till systems tended to have a little higher response to nitrogen.
How long have they been no-till?
Some of them had been long-term no-tills, but that wasn't something that we had paid a lot of attention to. All no-till is not created equal. I think that's where we need to use those on-farm trials to verify whether you're getting more or less response than what a generic recommendation would give you.
Any more questions? Let's thank our speaker.